Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given an analogy which describes the progress of the individual soul. He said it's like the growth of a tree which grows and grows and grows and grows until it finally develops a fruit. So in the same way, our plant of Krishna consciousness should be able to grow and grow and grow and grow until it develops the fruit of prema, or the fruit of love, which is to be relished by a person who's still in the material world. This was a little bit the subject of yesterday's talk. I had promised you, if you visit the seminar, at the end of the week, you will be realized souls. And then one Mataji correctly asked, is this guaranteed? This 100% guaranteed? And I said, yes, it is guaranteed, provided we apply the process properly, provided we are overcoming the obstacles which lie there on the path back home, back to Godhead. And today I would like to start my discussion on these two points. I will talk on obstacles in devotional service, which are very, which must be overcome by a sincere sadhaka. And I will also talk on how to apply the process of devotional service in a very vibrant way. So you will most probably find many tips and advices which are suitable for your spiritual progress. Please let us chant the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srila Prabhupada once wrote something about obstacles. He said, there are many things which hinder one from entering devotional service, but by the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed. So he said, yes, there are many hindrances, but there is a remedy, a cure against it, which is the association of pure devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada says, what the process or what the straight line of devotional advancement is. He says, in the beginning, first the sins must be overcome, like for instance meat eating or illicit sexual relationships and so on and so forth. Then one can become attracted. One can have steadiness and one can have perfect taste. Then one can have transcendental emotions, and at last one can be situated on the plane of loving service to the Lord. It's in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, text 25, for those who would like to read all this. So Prabhupada says, go into the association of devotees. This is what you must do to get started in the spiritual line or spiritual life. Then you should slowly think of eliminating the gross anchors to material life, which are the sins which we do. And then you will become attracted. Why is someone attracted to Krishna consciousness? It is because the gross material pleasures are no longer attractive. A person who has his mouth full with meat eating, with speaking nonsense and criticizing others, a person whose mouth is full with nonsense talks and material engagement, he will not taste the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. In the scriptures it is said that someone who wants to taste the sweet taste of sugarcane juice has to be free from the jaundice of illusion. What is jaundice, please? Yes, it's a disease which makes you taste things which are very sweet to be very bitter. If you are totally overwhelmed by the jaundice of material ignorance, you will not be able to taste the taste of spiritual life. It is not possible. The scriptures tell us that there was once a worm who was living from eating stool. This worm once met a bee, and the bee said, "My dear worm, why do you eat these nasty substances? Come to me to the rose garden. There is very nice, sweet rose honey." So the worm was attracted to come. But before he came, he thought, well, maybe I will have nothing to eat, maybe the honey will not nourish me, let's be sure. And he took some particles of stool and pushed it into the nose to keep his proviant. How do we call proviant? You know, it's something which you take with you on a journey. Yes. Tuchera, yes. Then the bee carried the poor worm to the rose garden. Oh, and when the smell of the rose garden was there, the bee said to the worm, "Just smell this. It is so beautiful. It's so extraordinary sweet." The worm went, "It smells the same, like the place where I come from. It smells the same." So the bee saw, he looked at the worm and saw that there was big here. And he looked and he understood what the worm had done. The bee said, "You can never taste a higher taste as long as you keep this material nonsense in your nose." And he took the worm to a river and shook the worm in the crystal clear river water, and then brought the worm back to the rose garden where there was this sweet rose honey available. He said, "Now you can taste." My dear devotees, as humorous as the story may appear, many of us do the mistake of the worm. Hare Krishna. We keep our material anattas, we keep our material engagements, we keep our material concepts in our mind. And because we keep this in our mind, we cannot taste the sweetness of the holy name. devotees say, oh, chanting is so nice. The best is to never stop chanting. If we think, oh my God, I have already problems with 4 rounds or with 8 rounds or with 16 rounds a day. If I imagine to chant the whole day Hare Krishna, this will be a silent torture. Torture means a pain. Yes, yes. You think, because we have still the ignorance of material life in our brain. Hare Krishna. And therefore, we cannot really relish Krishna consciousness. If you ask the materialist to come into the association of devotees and hear some devotional talk, he cannot feel the pleasure of this talk. He cannot see that this is relevant for his life. He thinks it is extremely boring and unrelevant and uninteresting, because he is so full with material concepts, so full with material ignorance, that he cannot taste the spiritual sweetness. Do you agree? Yes, we have seen this. And we have experienced this in our own life in a most disturbing way. So therefore, it is said that on the devotional path, one must first eliminate these gross material attachments. Then one will be able to become attracted to Krishna's form, Krishna's the talks about Lord Krishna. And then one can be steady in one's devotional service and relish the taste of transcendental emotions. As you are following this path of devotional advancement, where you will give up material illusions and follow the different practices of purification of the consciousness, you have to know that your determination will be tested. Hare Krishna. The material energy will place many tests before you to see if you are really determined. The moment someone wants to advance in his or her spiritual life, there will be obstacles. And the way you are able to cross over these obstacles will determine or will describe how much faith you have developed already in your Krishna conscious life. These obstacles are nothing else than Krishna's way of testing your faith and your determination. Obstacles are, in other words, alright. They are not bad. They are good. They help us to get trained in spiritual life. Someone who has never met obstacles and who has never proven his substance, his real substance, will be thrown down from his path when the slightest material difficulty arises in his life. Obstacles help us to develop our spiritual muscles. Obstacles are our friends. When obstacles arise in our lives, you should see them as an opportunity to learn to apply what you have heard. Once my spiritual master said that you can pass the obstacles in your devotional life if you learn to follow the instructions of the spiritual master with determination. Then you will be able to follow and to overcome all the obstacles with great glory. But if you do not follow the spiritual instructions in the face of obstacles. The obstacles will not be your friend, they will throw you back. Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, stand up and fight, O Arjuna. When you fight, you need a weapon. In the same way, if you want to fight with the obstacles, you require the sword. How do we say sword?
Shamshir.
The shamshir. You require the shamshir of the spiritual instructions which are given by the spiritual master and in the scriptures. Maya cannot stand against this light spreading shamshir. The shamshir, this word. This is a shamshir not made of steel and iron. This shamshir is made of spiritual light, which will destroy the darkness of the ignorance. So now, where we are feeling some courage in our life, do you feel some courage? We will deal with some obstacles. Are you ready? Yes? I will deal with some very heavy obstacles. I will start with the little easy obstacles. There are obstacles created by the non-devotee world. You want to advance, but your old friends are saying, no, don't go this way. Don't, please, don't leave us alone. Your parents might create obstacles. If you do not, if you follow this spiritual path, you will be disinherited. We will not have anything to do. You are not our son and our daughter any longer. This can happen. In the beginning, this happened to me. My very wealthy parents were very disturbed when I followed the path, when they saw me chanting Hare Krishna. It has changed over the years, but at the beginning there was a great obstacle. This is natural. When the material society sees someone leaving the society of materialists, they become very worried. No, it is very nice to have fresh air. This is the wealth of Kish, unlimited tons of fresh air. We should become rich by taking this wealth. Old friends might say, you are an illusion if you follow this path. Sometimes our own husband or our own wife become highly agitated and highly moved and become very and give many arguments. Our old religion, which is the priests of our old religion, will maybe say how this is very irreligious what you are doing. Prabhupada once said how the materialistic society reacts to a devotee. He said first they will laugh at us. How funny they are dressed. They are dressed in bed sheets. Dwarakadish is dressed in a bed sheet. They will laugh like this. And then they will fight against us when they see we do not change. And then Prabhupada said, they will follow us. If we remain determined, or if they don't follow, they will accept us. This is usually how spiritual revolutions take place in a society. First there is people laugh about it, then they begin to take it serious, and they begin to fight against it, and then finally they will accept it. This is the history of all big world religions. Christianity was like this. All the big world religions, if you study their history, in the beginning there is opposition against them by the rest of the society, who's used to some other ways and other means and other customs and habits. So what will happen? Well, the non-devotee world will first try to convert us in a gross way. They might, our friends might invite us to go with them to a football game, or to go in the cinema with them. Or they will say, if you follow this vegetarian diet, you will become very thin. And they will say, here is a very nice piece of kebab. Do we say kebab? Kebab. You know everything. it's for Sashi Devi and Gaura Hari. I hope they will not be disappointed. It's meat. Oh yeah. It's all over the world now. Yeah. So they will try like this, and then you know when we are still, when the taste of Maya, the taste of our old life is still in our mouth, the taste of ignorance is still there. You will. We will feel some attraction at that moment still. How can we explain this type of attraction which we feel towards Maya? Well, you must know, deep in our psychology, this is now a little Vedic psychology, we have what is called samskaras. Samskaras are impressions which we have made in our material life. They are deep there in our subtle body, in our mind, in our intelligence. And if we see the old sense objects which we used to enjoy, we all of a sudden become agitated, because there is a response here. There are samskaras here. There is a connection, in other words, here. We know what it is. The taste is still inside. And all of a sudden, this becomes activated and begins to fill our mind. Who of you uses a computer? Yes. There are these, I would like to give you an example what samskaras are in the computer language. There are these auto start programs. You do something, and then it loads and it comes up in your screen, and you say, my God, what did I do? It's an auto. Do you know this? All of a sudden, zoop, and you didn't want this, you are in doing something totally different, but zoop, it comes. So in the same way, when the non-devotee world offers you some ideas or some gross sensual enjoyment, then these auto-start programs start. That means your old sanskaras, your old impressions become activated, and zoop, oh, I'm very attracted all of a sudden. Dvakadish Prabhu, I would suggest that during the lecture we do not make photos. I understand you want photos, and as a reward I will pose for you afterwards. But if we have all the time the flashlight, a little bit is all right, but you seem to make 1,800 pictures. So, yeah. That may be a little much, yes. And then when these old sanskaras, which we do not wish to have in our spiritual life, become activated, then we do become disturbed. We cannot totally fix on our Krishna consciousness. Especially those of us who live in a town like Tehran. Hare Krishna. We find so many old so many sense impressions which are there, which begin to activate our old impressions, our old sanskaras. You must know every material impression creates its mark in our psychology. And sometimes when we chant, you know, they become activated, and we see in our chanting all of a sudden a material desire. We want to enjoy the material world in some materialistic way. All of a sudden it's there. Especially it's there when you have all the time these deeply materialistic impressions around you. Cinema songs, then the smell of kebab, then, you know, fashion, perfume, good looks, things which remind us of sexual enjoyment, which we have made in past lives or even in this lives. All of a sudden these, you know, the old sanskaras become activated again, and they are there, and sometimes we are so confused about it that we have absolutely no taste for chanting or reading. When we read, what does it say? Doesn't go into the brain. Doesn't go into the heart. Have you made this experience?
Yes.
It's terrible. Or you chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's so boring. You feel so absolutely bored. Marjana is laughing. This Marjana, you should cry in bitter pain. This is because we are covered so much by this Maya Shakti, this material energy, which is composed of these sanskaras, these psychological impressions, which begin to be present very much in our mind. And at times, it's really, really difficult to concentrate. The scriptures have full understanding. This is not something which only happens in Tehran. It happens all over the material universe. This thick covering of material illusion. That's why we want to have association now for 1 week, and we will only hear about Krishna conscious subject matters. Because by hearing, there is what is called the Kana Bheda Sanskara happening. What is the Kana Bheda Sanskara? Do you know what Kana means in Sanskrit? Ears. And Bheda means piercing the ears. Piercing the ears. In the Vedic times, it is, how do we say? Yes. In the Vedic times, all men and women would get the ear piercing ceremony so that some nice decorative ear rings could be placed on the ear. I think our Madhajis have holes in the ears also in Persia. I think this is a custom. But in India also men have, Brahmanas you will find have big nice decorations for the ear. So once the channel is opened here, you can place all kinds of diamonds, pearls, rings and so on without a problem because the channel is open. So in spiritual life we have to sometimes also do a Kana Bheda Sanskara. We have to pierce the material ear. We have to go through the covering of Maya. And in this way, once this is done, oh, the channel is opened, Hare Krishna. And when the moment you hear Hare Krishna, wow, so much taste. You feel just so happy. You want to close your eyes and go deep inside your mind. And you just feel this is the greatest fortune which could happen in your spiritual life to you. Mm-hmm. So Maya will come also in very subtle ways to the devotees. The first tests are there in the gross way. Food, meaningless entertainment, but then Maya gets more subtle. Have you heard about Mao Zedong? Mao Zedong was a politician in China who was leading a communistic revolution against the old monarchy, and he had a very intelligent wife. And this wife, when she became old, she said, "Most people think sex life is the greatest attraction to the material energy. But even more powerful is the desire for power, the desire for position, the desire for being recognized by others. When you, these are the more subtle tests of Maya, that you wish to get power or recognition. It's called pratishta. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about this, that this can happen in the devotional community, that someone will also be very interested to have a position. He wants to be a brahmana, he wants to be a sannyasi, so that he can control others and rule over others, to have the recognition of being a very advanced soul. Be very careful in your spiritual life of thinking, you know, of going for these subtle enjoyments. Or the subtle test of Maya is that all of a sudden, because you are so selfish, you become envious on the advancement of others, instead of feeling joy when someone gets advanced in spiritual life, instead of feeling great happiness when someone is able to find spiritual shelter, you become envious. This is the most subtle tests which are placed by the material energy. You want to become recognized as a big lecturer. Oh, I can give a Bhagavad Gita lecture and quote many verses. And in this way, Maya, the material energy, gets more subtle. So, a devotee Maya, it is said, is on the lookout, and when Maya sees that a devotee wishes to advance in spiritual life, she comes and will allure the devotee in both a gross way as well as subtle ways. And usually these allurements, do we understand the word allurement? What is it for? Yeah, these allurements are usually offered by the old world which we are trying to leave, the non-devotee world, who places these things before us in a very graphic and drastic kind of way. So many times the young or immature devotee will become therefore very strong and very, I would say, hateful sometimes of the old world, the non-devotee world. He will feel the need to create a distance to the world. He will or she will then be perceived by his friends and relatives as a very arrogant person. This is unfortunately natural in the beginning states of bhakti. I remember once Srila Prabhupada was met by or received a letter by two nice ladies who had met the devotees in San Francisco on the road. And they had a discussion, and the lady didn't have a very positive impression of the devotees. She said, "I met two of your followers," she wrote in the letter, "and these followers seem to be very harsh and unsocial. Isn't it that a person who develops spiritual life should advance in love? But your followers seem to have advanced in rejection." Did something go wrong here? Prabhupada answered, "When the devotee is young, he feels a great need to make a distance between him and Maya, and therefore he may sometimes appear a little bit strong for those who are still in Maya." After all, Prabhupada said, it's not so easy
to leave the material energy. And therefore, I request you to be kind to my disciples. Forgive them. Later, as they will advance, they will not react in such a harsh way. It will be natural. See, only someone is harsh towards his friends and the material energy who still have some attraction and who fight therefore with him. But for someone who is free from attractions to Maya, Maya cannot allure him. There is, and therefore there is no need for him to fight with Maya. It just does not, the auto-start programs don't reject, don't act any longer. They are no longer there. The sanskaras of material life have been filled with Krishna consciousness, and therefore the person just doesn't react any longer to the material energy. I know there's one devotee. See, when I'm in India, I always have a lot of difficulty with the loudspeakers of India. Have you heard those who were in India? Everything is so loud, you know, and they always play these impossible songs. Everywhere you hear it, from every side of the corner. It's just and foolish songs like Sanyasi, come home, you know, just Maya songs is there. If you want to hear some, know some lyrics, then you can interview Sachi Devi. She may know the foolish songs, huh? Because you hear them everywhere. It's too much. But I know one devotee who, so when I chant Hare Krishna and there are these loudspeakers, I find them disturbing. But there's one elderly devotee, he's left the body, but when he was around 100, he would have his window open, very wide open, and he was just living next to the tea stall, you know, the tea shop where all this music goes, from morning till throughout the night, you know, if there is electricity and no power cut. And he would just live next to it, and he would not at all be disturbed, because there was nothing in his heart any longer of the old world, and therefore no reaction was possible. You can only react to something which reaches you, which gets a response in your heart. I always admire this devotee who chanted next to the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. We would ask him, are you not disturbed by this? And he said, no, I don't hear anything. I only hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. This is very good, very highly advanced. The sanskaras. Let me explain to you a little bit more about what sanskaras mean. You can describe our thoughts to be like a river, and the sanskaras, the old impressions, our psychology, to be like a riverbed. How do we say riverbed? Yes. The water of the river will always flow in a riverbed. In the same way, the mind will go in the riverbed, which is created by our old experiences in this world. which have left so many sanskaras. It will go like this. It will always go like this. So what if you want to create new thoughts, a new mind, you have to somehow fill the old sanskaras with Krishna conscious experiences. We hope that we are doing this here, where we chant and where we talk about Krishna, where we will worship Lord Krishna and make an arati, where we eat prasadam. I really want to encourage you, when you, throughout the day, you should fill the old sanskaras with Krishna conscious impressions. You should put rocks and earth in the old riverbed, and then create a new riverbed, new sanskaras. These two things you have to do. Fill the old sanskaras and create new sanskaras. That's why it's so important to sometimes go on sacred pilgrimage, either to Kish, where we can associate freely, or to the holy spots in India. This is even more, and have sadhu sangha there. Because this will create impressions. When I dream, for instance, I dream often of the Ganga. I don't dream of Hamburg, that's the town in Germany where I came from. I dream of kirtans, I dream of meeting devotees, because there are new sanskaras, and the old sanskaras are closed effectively. It's a nice point, isn't it? This is spiritual psychology. So when you leave this room, don't immediately start nonsense. So don't talk nonsense. When you go to your hotels, don't look at the TV immediately. We call it in Germany the one-eyed guru who preaches. Also, the TV has only one eye, and therefore he's a one-eyed guru. Don't listen to the one-eyed guru immediately. Especially while you're here in Kish, make a program that you really create new sanskaras. Even if it's difficult, you should do when you're in the hotel room. Chant your rounds. Don't talk nonsense. Don't be, in other words, like the worm. There's no difference. Many of us are not exactly like the worm. We go into the rose garden. Ah, honey. Oh, God. Good atmosphere. But then when we go back to Tehran and we fill ourselves full with material impressions. Please forgive me. Preachers have to sometimes be a little heavy. Is it all right? Is it all right? Thank you. It's for your benefit. I know that you are great souls, but now I want to train you in your spiritual life. So we have to be a little bit intense. Let us not make this mistake, constant mistake, which sometimes devotees do. That is to feed their material side, to feed their material sanskaras, to feed their auto-start programs, you know. This is not good. We should eliminate all these bad sanskaras from our mind so that we can go without any disturbance. I had one friend, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who left the world in August. And before he left the planet, he appeared in my dream And he said, I will leave in 3 or 4 days. I came to say goodbye. Like, see my friend. And he said, Satchinandan Swami, I have one last message for you. In our hearts, he said, there are 2 dogs. They fight. Like in India, you see fighting dogs. In Tehran, we also see?
No.
No dogs there. Only cats. You know? In India, you see, and they are bleeding. One dog has only one ear left. Other is destroyed. Bhakti Thirtha Maharaj said, in our hearts there are 2 dogs, they are fighting. Which one will win? And then in my dream, I couldn't answer the question. I said, no idea. You please answer your question. Then he said, that dog will win whom you give food. Do you understand the wisdom? We have 2 sides in us. A material side and a spiritual side. And these sides have these deep samskaras which support them. And they are sometimes going against each other. Which one will win? The one whom you give food. So, okay. I'm almost finished with this session. And then I will ask for your questions. When there is an influence from the non-devotee world, we can react in one of 2 ways. First, I will describe the immature reaction. We will become angry. We are proud. When others try to hurt us, we will try to hurt them also by the way we act. We will maybe think, The Vedic philosophy is the best of all philosophies, and we will quarrel with everyone else and put them down. You don't know anything. You are an illusion. And so on. And we will create many, many enemies. But there is also a mature reaction. And I would like to encourage all of you to choose the mature reaction. The mature reaction would be that you understand everyone is on his or her level of advancement. There are so many different levels. People have to act the way they act because they do not know better. For instance, a little child. Hare Krishna, Satya. A little child, Hari Bol, come in. Acts the way it acts. The little child is, when it gets tired, it will become very nasty and disturb everyone. Do you know little children when they become tired? They are just impossible to deal with. Should you begin to slap them at that time? No. You know, he's a child. He's tired. He has to act the way he acts. In the same way, a devotee understands all people can only act the way they are acting. They have their sanskaras, their psychology, which they have even from a previous life, which influences them. And they do not become an enemy, the devotees, even to those who act as their enemies. The devotee does not go down to the level of the person who accuses him or who acts and against him and begins to fight. There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which describes the vision of a devotee. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini suni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadashina. The pandit or the wise man sees everyone with an equal eye. He doesn't make a difference between the learned men, the learned brahmana, the cow, the dog, and not even the dog eater. He sees this is one, the same, the soul is there, the spiritual soul is there, but it is covered with different levels of material coverings, which force the person to act in the way he acts. Like a child who is forced to cry and become restless when it gets tired. And so these all the people in this universe are acting according to the influences which are born out of contact with the material energy. No? They act according to material influences. Therefore, one should never allow his mind to become an enemy to those who act as our enemies. Sometimes people even of our own community can act in ways which we have never expected them to act. But we should not become angry at them and begin to make politics against them or develop hateful feelings. That is not the way a Vaishnava acts. I remember an example of how what is a mature reaction even when someone of the own community begins to act against us. My friend Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was a black man, and you know the black men in America all come from slaves. There was in the 1700s, there were these slave drivers. They came with boats to Africa and they violently took men and sometimes also women on the slave ships and then sold them in Great Britain, but mostly in America. About 50% of the slaves died already on the ships and they were brought from Africa to America. But those who survived were kept in really inhuman conditions. The master would stamp his name onto the forehead and onto the body of the slave, and they would have to do very hard work on the farms to get the bananas and to harvest the cotton and so on. This was so inhuman that a civil war started. The slaves in America were mostly living in Southern America, And the North thought this was inhuman. How can the southern provinces keep slaves? And a war came out of this. Where many people had to die. The war resulted in freedom for the slaves. But the slaves, the black people never were considered equals in American history. For a long, long time, they lived in ghettos, their own parts of the town. And also, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, as a little boy, grew up in a ghetto in Cleveland. They never were allowed to go to the same schools or universities. So, but Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was one exception. He, due to the arrangements, he went to a school and he studied psychology at the Princeton University. He had to be brought with two guards into the university so that the white men would not throw stones at him when he would go at the university. Two white guards had to be there. Anyways, when he joined the Krishna consciousness movement, he experienced also a lot of ignorance, even by devotees who were not enlightened in spiritual life. And one day it became too much, and he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm so sorry to say, your movement and the philosophy is so wonderful, it totally attracts me, but your devotees are sometimes racists." How do we say racists? Yeah. They are mistrusting me. When they talk and I want to come and talk with them, they stop their talk. I'm very disappointed. I think I cannot make it in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave a very unexpected answer. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had thought Prabhupada would now criticize the devotees who acted on such a bodily platform that they made a distinction between black and white. He had expected this because so often Prabhupada, you are all familiar with his books, he talks about how we are not the body. Huh? This is so often in every, whenever you read the books, this is a very important point which Prabhupada makes to establish that we are eternal souls. But Prabhupada, he didn't react in the way Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj expected. He said, "Why are you disturbed about people who are foolish? You are on the same level as these people are if you become disturbed. It is your mistake." And then, of course, Prabhupada said that this is not, racism has not, is totally against the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and he corrected the white devotees and said, "You have not understood anything. You are, and if this continues, you cannot be my disciple." You know, he was very strong with the white devotees who had such foolish ideas. But when he talked with Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he said, "Someone who becomes disturbed about the foolishness of others is on the same level as these other people are. He is not understanding, in other words, that these people are conditioned souls, but inside of them is a pure soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. How do you like this point? It's very interesting, isn't it? I believe this is also will help us very good in practical work, because sometimes in our own community of devotees there's unrest, there are differences of opinion, which is human, but then there is some fighting and some politics maybe. I do not know if it is here in Persia also, but it's all over the world, you know. And someone who becomes disturbed then and thinks, oh, becomes discouraged, he is on the same level as these disturbing elements. He should understand, yes, some samskaras, old impressions, force this devotee to act more or less like a like my child is acting when the child is disturbed because of hunger or tiredness and so on. So a mature reaction to we are discussing about obstacles brought about by the non-devotee world would be to have deep spiritual convictions in your heart, which then help you to understand everyone with an equal eye, even your enemy, or the person who by your karma acts as your enemy. Deep spiritual convictions can help you. This is something which you must very quickly acquire if you want to make advancement in spiritual life. You must acquire deep spiritual convictions. In the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Yadabharat, a great, great self-realized soul who was very much disturbed by his brothers who did not understand that he was a self-realized soul and who would taunt him and challenge him and give troubles to him and so on. But because of his spiritual vision, he didn't distinguish even between the ants on the road and his foolish brothers. He could see they are all part and parcel of Krishna, and they all act under the influence of powerful material energy. If you want to read a little bit about Yadabharat's deep spiritual convictions, please take a note in your notepad. It's a Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto, 10th chapter, text 9, 11 and 13. I have picked this out. Also the Sri Ishupanishad verse number 7 says, one who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can illusion or anxiety be for him? Try to learn this. When you go over the street, try to see everyone as a spiritual spark, a part of Krishna. This will give you a very nice perspective in your life, and this will give you peace in your heart. When you go out in the streets, you should do this. This exercise. Don't see just the body and the mind and how they react. See them as spiritual souls. I think our Nazi is working in a cosmetic shop. Is that true, Nazi? When all these customers come, you should be there and see them as pure spiritual parts, parts of God, children of eternity. Yeah? When you go through Tehran and everyone goes, Tehran, 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 it's all very loud and very noisy and Rajaguna pure. That's the mode of passion pure, yes. What? With a little mixing of tamagut. Little, not so much. No, or much. Yes, much. Tamagun and too much. Rajagun and tamagun mix. You should see, oh, these are pure spiritual souls. But the gunas make them so attached to running after material goals, or the gunas make them so much covered over, so that they do not know what is good for them. In Tehran, people drink alcohol, or is it not allowed?
Forbidden.
Forbidden. Good.
What they drink.
At home.
Yeah. Yeah. In the public is forbidden.
In the public, but in home it's allowed.
So it's not allowed. But
yeah, that they do. Yeah. So this is tamagun. Some more tamagun, please. Yes. This tamagun and rajagun, you should see that the souls are not doing anything, but they are guided or moved about by the powerful modes of material nature. For a spiritualist, the whole world becomes like a big puppet theater. We have in Persia? Yeah. This, we should understand, this is the whole material world, and we should not become angry and react in immature ways. That is not. Yeah. You have gotten your luggage?
Passport has to be faxed to the bank.
Oh, yeah. Hare Krishna. So, I want to now give you a few practical tips. What you can do when you are confronted with obstacles created by the non-devotee world. The first is, please remain just a little bit patient. We will, in 5 minutes, we will be finished with this session. If you do not wish to become disturbed by the material association of non-devotees, you absolutely have to create a circle of devotees in which you can regularly take association. This is absolutely necessary for your spiritual life. Especially you should advance with those devotees who are more advanced than you, or who are on the same level as you, and who have friendly feelings towards you. If you want to have a good association with devotees, it should be amongst like-minded devotees, where there are friendly feelings. That's very important. Find yourself a circle of devotees with whom you can have friendly feelings. And do not become shocked if maybe with all devotees you cannot feel friendly, because they think so different, they have different characters, and they have different ways. They are also very good, but they are just very different, and for a friendly exchange it is sometimes difficult. Then be at least polite to them, and so on. I think a place like Tehran, where there is so much mode of ignorance passion, it's very necessary that we create a very strong Bhakti Sangha program where we have very nice association amongst our devotees. It's very, very important. Avoid to quarrel with devotees. That's very, very important. If you cannot cooperate with all devotees so nicely, no problem. But you need association where you can feel this. Then it's very important for you, if you are in the non-devotee world, that you create a spiritual atmosphere in your life. You should have such a spiritual atmosphere in your life that when the non-devotee world is there with its tests, with its challenges, with its allurements, you are happy inside your own life. You are spiritually satisfied. Most of the time we are only disturbed if our spiritual dog is weak and our material dog is very strong. Create a very spiritual atmosphere. Be satisfied in your heart. Someone who is satisfied in his heart, he cannot be allured by Maya. It is simply not possible for him. Then the best tip for someone who wants to immunize against the obstacles created by the non-devotee world is to have a good sadhana, a good spiritual practice. If you have a good sadhana or a good spiritual practice, then your own worldliness will be for sure evaporated and eliminated. Then, if you have a good sadhana, you will have a good spiritual vision. When you have a good spiritual vision, you can go through the world without becoming influenced by it. Never, a devotee will never find fault with the world. Oh, I'm diverted because the world is so much Maya. He will not hate the world for that. He will know this is Krishna's prison house for the people who are in illusion. Let them be. Let it go. And a devotee will feel great compassion for the people in this world, and he will feel a need to help them with some spiritual programs. He will maybe offer vegetarian cooking classes or even yoga classes to help the people to make their first contacts with spiritual life. And but then, after some time, the devotee will have a very good and fulfilling spiritual as far as his life himself is concerned, he will just do what is right, have a strong spiritual program. My dear devotees, I recommend to you that before you go out into the world, you collect moments of spiritual inspiration. Sometimes when we are working, it's not always possible to have a long sadhana before we go out into the mayic world, because we have to rise early. In Tehran, we cannot sleep, so we cannot go to bed at 8 o'clock so easily. Only some of us can. And then, whenever you do your sadhana, collect moments of spiritual inspiration. I will end with one story which will make it very clear what I want to say. Once King Janaka left his body, he died, was his death. He was brought by a chariot which came from the spiritual world from his place, and he was he was passing the hellish planets, and he heard so much screaming, oh, ah, ooh, ooh, from the hellish planets. Then he asked the Vishnu Dutas, who drove him back home, back to Godhead, what are these sounds? The Vishnu Dutas explained, Janaka, these are the sounds of the souls which are tortured in hell.
Janaka said, oh no,
I do not want to go back to Godhead when there are people who are so much tortured. And he went to the gates of the hell. He stayed outside of the hell, but just before the entrance gate. Yamaraj heard that the great soul Janaka is there, and he came out of the hell. He paid his obeisances and embraced him and said, Brother Janaka, what can I do for you? I'm so happy to have your association. Both of us are great devotees of the Lord. Janaka said, I want to save all the fallen souls who suffer tremendous misery. Yamaraj said, I can't imagine that you want to save them. They can't be saved. See, here are people who have murdered others, who have killed children, who had sex with the wife of their gurus, who drank alcohol. Here are all these very sinful people. Janaka Maharaj said, for me they are all the same. They are parts of God, parts of Krishna, who suffer in forgetfulness. Yes, but you cannot, they have to go through this correction, said Yamaraj, to finally learn to not kill, to not speak lies to others. They are going through a necessary period of correction. It's God's will. Yamaraj said, my heart pains. No, Janaka said, my heart pains to hear them call so out in so much suffering. I want to help them. Is there a way to help them? And then Yamaraj thought and thought and thought. And then he said, yes, there is one way. You remember once, one morning, you were worshipping Lord Ram in great spiritual ecstasy, and you were chanting the names Ram, 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 Ram. You remember? If you give them the benefits, the spiritual benefits, which you have obtained by chanting the Lord's name in great love and devotion, then they will all be delivered from hell. Janaka said, may this all come to them. when the poor souls heard this, they went out of their frying pans and out of their hell fires. And they came with Janaka Maharaj on his Vaikuntha vehicle, on his spiritual airplane, and went to Vaikuntha because the sins were forgiven. So this is what I mean. Yamaraj said this moment of intense spiritual absorption when Janaka was worshipping the deities and chanting the names of Lord Rama. This is very powerful. So in the same way, you should have moments of spiritual enlightenment. This morning when I was at the beach, I could not have much reading. So I read in my Radhe Shyam songbook. This is my personal songbook which I have made. And I... I only read one song. Sakhe kalaya gauramudaram nindita taka kantika levara nindita taka kantika levara kavita maraka maram sakhe kalaya gauramudaram. Soon we will sing. Oh, sing about the wonderful, beautiful attributes and pastimes of Sri Satchinandana Gaura Hari. Lord Chaitanya has this name, Satchinandana. So sing about the wonderful pastimes and activities of Lord Chaitanya, who performs wonderful pastimes. Whose beauty defeats the beauty of millions of gods of love. You know, and I was sitting on the beach going dee, 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 dee. And I was thinking of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, how he would call his associates in the morning, how he would go on Harinam Sankirtan, and how he would chant the names of Lord Krishna very nicely, and how he would call to the people, don't sleep during the day and during the night, just be very, fill your names with mouth with the names of Krishna. And these moments of spiritual excitement are sometimes sufficient. If we can't have a full meal, then let us eat at least a little of Krishna consciousness. And if you can taste only a little of Krishna consciousness, feel moved, feel how your feelings in the heart are awoken, then you can survive a whole day of Tehran without problem. Hare Krishna. So we will sing now a little. No, what we will do is, I will see, do you have any questions? This story appeared as an illustration about what is how bhakti comes to us. Bhakti comes to us, we said, in two ways. Either through the mercy of the devotees or through the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this story, we had the wonderful we heard the wonderful explanation of how Krishna sometimes is so merciful that he gives his mercy without a cause. It's called causeless mercy. See, we usually learn that we have to earn the mercy by doing activities which please the Lord. But Krishna is so absolutely free that he can sometimes give his mercy in a causeless way. This is called, for the person who experiences the mercy, it's called agyata sukriti. It is benefit without his knowing it happened. An example has been given of a rich man who may see a beggar on the street and may go to him and hand him, here you have $1 million. You may think, when you are next to the poor man, oh, this is not fair. I have gone to university, I've studied so much to be able to earn some money, but he just gets it like this. But I think you should take another perspective and think, well, this is the free will of the rich man. He can do such a thing. He can show his mercy to an unqualified person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the most merciful incarnations of Krishna, and he is known to distribute his mercy without looking for qualifications. He used to just chant. There were millions of people around him chanting and feeling love of Godhead, people would come when he was on one bank, side of the bank of the Ganga. They would come in boats and cross Mother Ganga, and the boats would be hopelessly filled with too many people, and they would sink. But by the Lord's arrangement, sandbanks would appear, and the boats would not drown with the people, but they would sink into the sandbanks and would be saved. So millions of people used to cross the Ganga or come in other ways to be together with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they all would get the most rarest treasure of love of Godhead just by chanting with him in kirtans. So, yes, it is Agyata Sukriti. It is very, very, very wonderful. It shows that the Lord can ultimately only be attained if he gives his mercy. There are verses where you can understand. Not by giving big lectures, not by performing austerities, not by doing this and that, but only by obtaining the costless mercy of the Lord, you can get the mercy. You can advance. So then you might ask, well, then there is no need for me to do anything. No need to struggle to control my mind and my senses. No need to do a long bhajan, a long kirtan. But this is not the right conclusion. By doing sadhana, you show the Lord that you are not indifferent. You very much care. You show your eagerness. And when Lord Krishna sees your eagerness, then he will help you. But even bhajan, which is performed without any eagerness, which is just done mechanically, is not pleasing the Lord very much. It's not an automatic process. It's always a sweet secret. These are two questions, so let me start with the first one. What to do with our... maybe first you can translate it. And after this, you have translated already. Oh, done already. Very fast and efficient. Sanskaras are in our mind, and we have to learn, if we want to advance in spiritual life, to make the mind our friend. Lord Krishna is speaking about this in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says that the mind can be the greatest enemy, but also the greatest friend of the conditioned soul. How can we make the mind our friend? Well, the mind needs something to do. We will talk a little bit in the future about what is the mind and how the mind works. The mind needs to think, feel, and will. These are the motoric activities of the mind. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So, a devotee who wishes to make the mind the friend will learn to give the mind a culture in which the mind can think of spiritual things, feel spiritual things, and make spiritual decisions. You have to give the mind a culture that is a favorable environment in which you see spiritual things like pictures, you hear spiritual sound vibrations, you are having favorable spiritual emotions. And in this culture, you can actually feed the mind, and it will become very, very strong spiritually. The mind can act in two ways. That is para, in the spiritual platform, or avara, that is on the material platform. And it depends what food you give to the mind. Remember the two dogs who are fighting. Your second question was relating, please help me again.
The acts we see in other people and which disturbs us, are they coming from our samskara?
Yes, when we see things which disturb us in other people, it's usually the disturbing things which are in our own personality. We see, for instance, someone is a rascal because we know this very much of ourselves. The other people or the whole world often acts as a mirror to show us things which we cannot see in our own. You know, when you have something, let us say, some impurity here on the skin, you go on a mirror, and then you can see very, very quickly, and go like, and you need the mirror to see something which you cannot see in your own, on your own. So people, so the whole world and the people, especially the people inside, act as mirrors to show us what is wrong in us. Hare Krishna. So I would say, now one thing I have to admit, I'm now a little, I have not taken any breakfast, and I'm very, very hungry. So with your I wanted to chant my rounds. With your permission, I will just take a little prasadam. Is this all right? Have you taken prasadam? You are not hungry at this moment?
No.
Good. Then I would suggest that we make a little pause of 15 minutes maybe, and then yes, and then after 15 minutes we will do something. Yes? Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Thank you.